This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
Israel does not want to return to a situation where we look north from our northern border and we don't see Lebanese flags, we see Hezbollah flags, and we don't see Lebanese army or police units, we see Hezbollah military formations.
You chose an open war with people that who are honored and proud of their culture and of their history and has the material and experience and the mind and the endurance and the courage.
It was Hezbollah leader Sheikh Hassan Nasrallah speaking yesterday on Lebanese television, his words interpreted by CNN interpreter. Before that, we heard Israeli Foreign Ministry spokesman Mark Regev speaking about Israel's need to defend its borders. Fighting in the Middle East spread to Lebanon this week after two Israeli soldiers were captured by Hezbollah in a cross-border raid. Israel has responded with overwhelming force, bombing Hezbollah headquarters in Beirut and blockading Lebanon by air and sea. Hezbollah has been firing a barrage of rockets into Israel and has struck an Israeli warship in the Mediterranean. Civilians on both sides of the border have been killed. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
This began, I guess, as a conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza when Hamas nabbed an Israeli soldier, took him hostage. How did Lebanon and Hezbollah get involved, and how does it change the nature of the whole problem?
Well, I think what you're pointing to is the fact that the whole part of the Middle East there is coming aflame, and that there are big connections between one and the other. You can assume that when something happens with the Hezbollah in Lebanon, that they are getting help or instructions or advice, certainly from Syria, and then also from Iran, which seems to be involved. It is no longer simply dealing with a few people in Gaza who've made trouble or a few people in Lebanon who've made trouble. The whole war there is widening.
Almost a parenthetical. Is it impossible for the G8 summit to stay on its agenda?
No. This reminds me of 1982, when there was a G7 summit in Versailles with President Reagan there. Mm-hmm. And on the first day, Israel invaded Lebanon. The result was that all the things they wanted to talk about, world trade and money and all, had to give way because you had all the leaders of the countries which would have had to take positions anyway. Something like that, I think, is happening now. We've had President Bush has refused to condemn Israel, and we have, on the other hand, Putin, who is not willing to condemn the Hezbollah. And it's a very interesting thing that the Middle East crisis sort of winds its way through meetings of summit powers. Mm.
There was some hopefulness even after that major assassination last year that this new Lebanese government might represent something new in the region. I wanted to get you to talk about if it's possible that Syria could be drawn back.
I think Syria is back. Mm-hmm. There is a question now as to whether Syria was actually ever gone. Syria seems to be involved there. The headquarters of the Hezbollah military unit is in Damascus. Mm-hmm. It operates from Damascus. And Iran also, you heard about the Israeli ship that was hit by a missile. Yeah. It was an Iranian missile, possibly fired by an Iranian. There's supposed to be about 100 Iranians helping along with the Hezbollah in Lebanon right now. So it's maybe it was never in point to say that there's Lebanon and there's Syria and so on. There's a great deal in which they almost merged together into one awful mess.
A military question, which I guess like all military questions is of course not just military. Does Israel have the wherewithal to destroy Hezbollah militarily without damaging the infrastructure of Lebanon and a fragile Lebanese government that was supposed to be a wedge against Syria?
Very good question. I really don't know the answer. Yeah. I mean, Israel has stood up under a great many pressures since 1948 when it came into existence and is doing so again. And mainly alone. I don't know if the United States is giving any concrete help to Israel at this point. And how long will it last and how will it stop? Mm-hmm. You got me.
Are any of the principles susceptible to outside influence, the United States, the United Nations?
Well, the United Nations will be tried. It will never get anywhere because if you go into the United Nations, you have five powers which can exercise, stop anything in its tracks with its own veto power. And it is in the United Nations. It will be discussed in the United Nations, but discussed, I'm afraid, doesn't take us very far.
I don't want us to overlook Iraq. It's been a very deadly week. Shia militias killed scores of Sunni civilians in Baghdad. Today's news is that the head of Iraq's Olympic Committee and 30 staffers have been abducted. Maybe we need to remind ourselves of a question now and then. What could possibly be gained from kidnapping or harming those folks?
Well, that takes us back to Lebanon and Gaza as well. Both events there were triggered by the kidnapping of Israeli soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that Israel seems to react more vehemently to abduction of its people than killing them. At the same time, there were several killed. We hear about the abduction. It's an interesting thing how when the idea that they're holding on alive to Israeli boys counts for so much there. Now I've forgotten your question.
Well, it was actually about Iraq. The news that the at the head of the Iraqi Olympic Committee and I believe 30 of his staff members have been kidnapped. What kind of possible target? Or I mean, at least I don't want to say at least by any means, but of course we understand that Hezbollah is demanding the release of prisoners there. What does anybody kidnapping the Iraqi Olympic Committee hope to have returned?
I don't know. But what we've seen in the past week or so in Iraq is something very close now to a sectarian or civil war. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Shiites going to bomb the Sunnis go and bomb the Shiites. It is much more a sectarian war today than it is a war against the United States.
And I want to turn finally the subject of congressional hearings this week. Of course, they've been debating whether to make changes in the military tribunal system now that the Supreme Court has disallowed the White House's plans to use those tribunals for detainees at Guantanamo. The administration also said it's going to allow FISA courts to review the legality of the warrantless wiretapping program. What sort of change do you see afoot there?
Well, so far, the only change I see is that the administration seems to be quite confused as to where it wants to go. It says it accepts dictate of the Supreme Court that the Geneva Convention has to apply to people they take prisoner. Then they say, yeah, we'll do that. Then there are instructions issued by the Pentagon. And then the White House says, no, we're not quite there yet. And there they are back. Then there is a business of the eavesdropping thing. They say, yes, we will let you come in and talk to the court there. However, this court doesn't rule on the legitimacy of what they're doing. And so the question is, I don't know.
Okay. Thanks very much, Dan Shore.